Tata.
Ta-da.
Thereupon.
Thereupon.
You should.
You should.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
一切.
一切.
Guna.
Guna.
Good signs.
Good signs.
好征兆.
好征兆.
Udarke.
Udarke.
Having gradually evolved.
Having gradually evolved.
逐渐地发展了
Sa-anukula
Sa-anukula
All favorable
All favorable
所有良好的
所有良好的
Grahodaye
Grahodaye
Constellation of stellar influence
Constellation of stellar influence
星象的影响
Jage.
Jage.
Took birth.
Took birth.
出生.
出生.
Vamsadhara.
Vamsadhara.
Heir apparent.
Heir apparent.
继承人.
继承人.
Pandu.
Pandu.
Of Pandu.
Of Pandu.
潘度的.
潘度的.
Buya.
Buya.
Being.
Being.
是
Pandu Eva
Pandu Eva
Exactly like Pandu
Exactly like Pandu
完全就像潘度一样
完全就像潘度一样
Ojasa
Ojasa
By prowess
By prowess
英勇无畏
英勇无畏
Thereupon when all the good signs of the zodiac gradually evolved, the heir apparent of Pandu, who would be exactly like him in prowess, took birth.
之后, 当所有吉祥的星象都逐渐在黄道带上聚齐时, 潘度的这位法定继承人诞生了。
Looks like this is a verse.
他将与当年的潘度一样, 英勇无畏, 能量非凡。
Looks like this is a verse for our astrologer.
这就是一个整个占星的一件事。
Maybe he should be sitting here.
就是那个法布，地派普法布应该坐在这儿。
It's a lot about astronomical calculations. Astronomical calculations.
很多这些个星象占星的计算。
Anyways, we'll try to say something.
不管怎么样，反正我尝试着说点什么。
Report. Astronomical calculations of stellar influences upon a living being are not suppositions but are factual, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Every living being is controlled by the laws of nature at every minute, just as a citizen is controlled by the influence of the state. The state laws are grossly observed, but the laws of material nature being subtle to our gross understanding cannot be experienced grossly. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, every action of life produces another reaction, which is binding upon us, and only those who are acting on behalf of Yajna, Vishnu, are not bound by reactions. Our actions are judged by the higher authorities, the agents of the Lord, and thus we are awarded bodies according to our activities. The law of nature is so subtle that every part of our body is influenced by the respective stars, and a living being obtains his working body to fulfill his terms of imprisonment by the manipulation of such astronomical influence. A man's destiny is therefore ascertained by the birth time constellation of stars, and a factual horoscope is made by a learned astrologer. It is a great science, and misuse of a science does not make it useless. Maharaj Parikshit, or even the personality of Godhead, appear in certain constellations of good stars, and thus the influence is exerted upon the body, thus born at an auspicious moment. The most auspicious constellation of stars takes place during the appearance of the Lord in this material world, and it is specifically called Jayanti, a word not to be abused for any other purposes. Maharaj Parikshit was not only a great Kshatriya emperor, but also a great devotee of the Lord. Thus he cannot take his birth at any inauspicious moment. As a proper place and time is selected to receive a respectable personage, so also to receive such a personality as Maharaj Parikshit, who was especially cared for by the Supreme Lord, a suitable moment is chosen when all good stars assemble together to exert their influence upon the king. Thus he took his birth just to be known as the great hero of Srimad Bhagavatam. This suitable arrangement of astral influences is never a creation of man's will, but is the arrangement of the superior management of the agency of the Supreme Lord. Of course, the arrangement is made according to the good or bad deeds of the living being. Herein lies the importance of pious acts performed by the living being. Only by pious acts can one be allowed to get good wealth, good education, and beautiful features. The samskaras of the school of Sanatana Dharma, man's eternal engagement, are hardly suitable for creating an atmosphere for taking advantage of good stellar influences, and therefore Gabhadana samskara, or the first seedling purificatory process prescribed for the higher castes, is the beginning of all pious acts to receive a good, pious, and intelligent class of men in human society. There will be peace and prosperity in the world due to good and sane population only. There is hell and disturbance only because of the unwanted, insane populace addicted to sex indulgence.
要知，星象对生物的影响并不是假想出来的，而是事实。这一点得到了圣典、博伽瓦坛等权威经典的证实。每一个生物都时刻受到自然法律的控制，正如国家的居民受到国家势力的控制。国家的法律非常明显，我们都能了解，但物质自然的法律因为很精微，所以我们不易了解，不能直接体验到。正如《博伽梵歌》第三章的第九节诗中说明的，人生中的每一个行为都会产生报应，将我们紧紧束缚住。只有那些代表亚迪亚威士努从事活动的人不受报应的束缚。我们的活动由更高的权威至尊主的代理们做出判定，从而根据我们的活动决定给我们什么样的躯体。大自然的法律是如此精微，以致我们身体的每一个部分都受到不同星体的影响，而这种来自星象影响力的运作决定生物获得哪一个可以供它操作的躯体，以达到囚禁它一段时间的目的。正因为如此，通过看一个人出生时的星象就可以了解他的命运。只有博学的占星家才可以真正算人的命运。占星学是一门非凡的科学，错误地运用它并不意味着它是无用的。帕瑞克西德王甚至人格守神都是在某个星象吉祥的时刻显现的，这样好的影响力就会作用于身体。最吉祥的星象是当至尊主显现在这个物质世界时出现的，这种星象被特别称为 Jayanti，而这个梵文词不能被滥用于任何其他的事物。帕瑞克西德王不仅是伟大的查瑞亚帝王，还是至尊主杰出的奉献者，因此不可能在任何不吉祥的时刻出生。正如要选择正确的时间和地点迎接值得尊敬的要人，迎接帕瑞克西德王这样一位得到至尊主特殊照顾的人物也不例外。他被选择在所有好的星体聚集在一起的适当时刻出生，以便他们把好的影响施加在他这个君王身上。他就这样诞生了， 并作为盛典博加瓦坛中的大英雄闻名天下。这种对星象影响力的适当安排，绝非由人的意志决定，而是由至尊主能量的更高安排来决定。当然，当这种安排是根据生物的好坏行为做出的，其中展现出生物从事虔诚活动的重要性。只有靠这种虔诚活动，人才被允许得到钱财、高等教育和外貌美丽等财富。在强调人的永恒职责 Sanatan Dharma 的传承中所具有的各种净化仪式 Samskaras， 极其适合创造一个能利用吉祥星象影响的环境。其中为高阶层人士所规定的受精净化仪式 Garbhodana Samskara 是为了要在人类社会中培育虔诚而有智慧的人士所该从事的一系列虔诚活动的开端。善良圣洁的人口使人类社会具有和平与繁荣，沉溺于性放纵的不值得要的人口只能扰乱社会秩序，把人类社会变成人间地狱。
Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Silakaya Chakshua Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachulam Pangum Mangayate Garim Yakripata Maham Vande Shri Gurundina Tanuna Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachare Sitarame Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Har Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So yesterday, we read two verses also in this connection about the auspicious appearance of Maharaj Parikshit.
昨天呢，我们读了两节诗，也是跟帕瑞克希特王的这个吉祥的出生是有关系。
And we spoke about Maharaj Parikshit's purity.And how he was always a great, powerful, pure devotee of the Lord.
昨天我们就谈到了帕尔可西的王，他是多么的纯净啊！他是非至尊主强有力的奉献者。
And we also spoke about Maharaj Parikshit's continuous efforts throughout his whole life, searching for and hankering to see once again.That same Supreme Lord who had appeared within the womb of his mother to protect him.
那昨天呢，我们也谈了，就是帕瑞克希特王后来出生以后，用了他一生的时间，一直不断的就是寻找、追寻啊那位曾经在他母亲的子宫当中保护过他的至尊人。
So this verse today explains why it is so that.Maharaj Parikshit's birth was so auspicious.
那这一节诗，今天的这一节诗就讲了帕瑞克希特王的诞生为什么是那么的吉祥。
The astrological arrangements or the stellar arrangements, as is described here, were all put into perfect order for the appearance of Maharaj Parikshit.
这里面就讲了当时呢，就是所有的星星。都被安排组成的那个星象正好是那么适合帕瑞克希特王的显现。
Prabhupada even gives the example of how when Krishna appeared which is known as Krishna Jayanti.
那圣帕巴德呢，甚至也举了例子，就是圣 Krishna 降临的时候，那个星象叫 Krishna Jayanti.
The most auspicious astrological arrangements took place right at the time of his appearance.
也就是在至尊主啊诞生显现的那个时候，当时的那个星象是最吉祥的星象。
Thus indicating the appearance of the most auspicious personality, Krishna himself.
也就是呢，透过星象呢，就是表明他出在这个时刻出生的人是最吉祥的啊人，他就是主 Krishna 本人。
Of course, Prabhupada takes advantage of this point about the word Jayanti to make it clear that the word Jayanti should not be used to represent anybody except someone like the Supreme Lord himself.
那当然了，圣帕帕德就利用这个机会特别强调了，就是有关在占星学里头那个 Jayanti 一词，除了至尊主那样的人物啊，至尊主本人，没有其他人应该用这个词去形容。
He said the most auspicious constellation of stars takes place during the appearance of the Lord in this material world, and it is specifically called Jayanti, a word not to be abused for any other purposes.
最就是帕帕德在这个要旨里就说了，最吉祥的星象是当至尊主显现在这个物质世界时出现的，这种星象被特别称为假阳体，而这个梵文词不能被滥用于任何其他的事物。
I suppose Prabhupada is saying this because previously this word was used many times in relationship to politicians.
我想帕帕德之所以在这里特别强调这一点，是因为呢，就是那个时候的印度可能很多的政治家彼此之间都在用这个词在形容。
But it's a word that's reserved specifically for the Lord.
但是实际上这个词只有至尊主才能用它。
In fact, the only uses I'm aware of is Krishna Jayanti, Gaura Jayanti, and Gita Jayanti.
所以呢，由我自己知道的，就是 Jayanti 这个词只有在三种情况下用，一个是 Krishna Jayanti, 一个是 Gaura Jayanti, 一个是 Gita Jayanti.
Gita Jayanti is used because it was a time when, most very auspicious time when Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna.
那当时之所以用 Gita Jayanti 这个词，就是因为那个当至尊主给阿朱呢讲述薄伽梵歌的时候，那个是最吉祥的时刻。
Otherwise, this word should not be used in relationship to anyone else.
所以呢，要否则的话，这一个词绝对不应该用在其他的普通的什么那种关系里面。
Prabhupada seems to be making a few cautionary statements here in his purport.
好像看起来帕帕德在这一段要旨里头，他用了好，就是他谈到好几个我们需要注意的点。
One of them is about the use of the word Jayanti.
其中一个就是 Jayanti 的用法。
Another one is about the use of astrology.
那还有一个呢，就是有关占星啊，那个起卦 Prashna.
He's saying it is a great science.
就说了这个占星实际上是一门特别了不起的科学。
And misuse of a science does not make it useless.
那么人们误用占星学并不能够就说明占星学是无用的。
And again, Prabhupada is cautioning that astrology should not be misused also for political purposes.
所以呢，就是这个帕帕的在这里也是强调，就是占星学不能够去把它误用来弄，就是要完成自己的什么政治的一个目的。
It is a great science, and even a spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was a very profound scholar in the astrological arts.
那么这个占星学是那么非凡的一门科学，就连我们的前辈灵性导师圣帕布帕德、圣巴提西丹的萨尔瓦斯法提塔库，他们都是特别精通占星学的。
But one should not think that because it's when it's being misused that astrology is useless and therefore should not be used.
所以呢，我们不应该就是因为一些人误用占星学，我们就认为占星学是没有用的，以后我们就不用占星了。
And therefore he spends much time in this purport to give evidence about the influence of the stars.
因此呢，圣帕帕的在这一个要旨里头用了相当的一个段落，专门就在谈有关那个人出生的时候那个些星星的组合。
And he describes that every living being, as soon as they take their birth in this world, they're conditioned and their lives are governed by the stars.
所以呢，他就在讲了每一个生物体，当他们在这个世界上诞生的时候，实际上他们是被星星这些在管理着了。
Just as a citizen is controlled by the influence of the state.
就像这个国民被国家所管理。
So the difference is that the state laws can be grossly observed.The difference, he says, is that the state laws can be grossly observed.
那么呢，他说就是区别就在于我们国家的法律都是很明显的，大家就能够了解了。
Grossly observed means that we have direct evidence of where these laws are coming from.
也这个就是这样的一种，就是很明显的这个意思，就指的是我们能够知道，能够观察到这些个法律是怎么来的。
If you drive on the left side of the road, a police car comes, stops you, and issues a ticket.
那如果呢，你这个开车的时候，在这个错误的方向的那个道上开的话，那么这个警察就会来，就会阻止你，然后就给你开票罚单了。
And you may say, why am I getting this ticket?
那也许你会说，我为什么会得到这个罚单呢？
So, but these state laws are grossly observed because then the police officer will say, because it's the law, and I'm here to enforce the law.
那所以说，就是国家的法律是那么明显的，大家都能够知道，是因为那个警察，当你问为什么要给我罚单，警察就会告诉你 ，OK， 按照交通规则，你违反了什么法律，所以你得到这个罚单。
And you may object, I'm not interested in your laws.
然后你也许可以就是反对说，我对你的那个法律我不感兴趣。
But the influence of the state laws are grossly observed by the fact that if you make a statement like that, probably they'll put handcuffs on you, put you in the police car, and bring you to jail.
所以呢，就是国家的法律之所以是那么明显，就是说你如果就是当警察跟你说完了以后，你出言反对，说我对这国家法律不感兴趣的话，那有可能结局就是最后你就被戴上手铐，给你。
So there's direct evidence that those laws exist.
所以呢，这个是很明显的证明，这个法律是就是存在的。
When you break those laws.
只要你这个违法了。
But Prabhupada said here that the subtle laws of material nature are not so gross.
但是呢，啪啪的在这里说了，也大自然的法律就没有那么明显了，它是很精微的。
He said that, but the laws of material nature being subtle to our gross understanding cannot be experienced grossly.
所以啪啪的就说了，物质自然的法律因为很精微，所以呢。我们不易了解，不能直接体验到。
And then Prabhupada refers to the verse Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 9.
然后啪啪的呢就举了这个《薄伽梵歌》的例子，《薄伽梵歌》第三章的第九节诗中说
，Which I believe is yagya tat kama nonatra loko yam karma bandhana taratam kama kotiya mukta sangavar samachara that where Krishna says.Work performed as a sacrifice, as yagya to the Supreme Lord Vishnu, has to be performed.
在这节诗里头，就是至尊主就说了，为这个至尊人所从事的这些个活动叫祭祀，我们必须要从事这样的祭祀。
Otherwise, there is karma bandhana.
否则的话，我们就会受到活动的束缚。
Karma bandhana means you become bound.To this world.
那个 karma bound 呢？这一词的意思就是说，我们就会受到这个世界的捆绑。
In other words, what Krishna is saying is, if you do not perform sacrifice, you'll have to get a reaction which will bind you to this world.
嗯，也就是换句话说呢，Krishna 就说了，如果你呢不为至尊主去从事举行这些个祭祀性的活动的话，那么你就会被你的活动的结果捆绑在这个世界里。
But these laws are more subtle.
但是呢，这些个大自然的法律是更精微的。
We don't get direct evidence in the same way that we get direct evidence when we break the state laws.
啊，我们在生活当中，我们不会像这个违反了交通法律啊等等等等的，马上就会得到什么这些个罚单之类的这么明显。
Because they work on the subtle platform, and these laws are applied.In future lives.
啊，所以由于整个这个大自然的法律它是那么的精微，但是呢，实际上今后我们的生活里头就会感受到了。
And therefore, we cannot directly see what is it that I did, which has caused this suffering to me right now.
所以正因为如此，我们在痛苦的时候，我们就不明白，说我到底做了什么了，让我现在这么的痛苦。
Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us evidence of personalities over, carried over many different lives.
嗯，正因为如此呢，圣典《博伽瓦坛》里头就记载了一很多一些个人物，他就是他的那个事情，几生的事情给我们描述。
There are many examples in the Bhagavatam. Ideal example I often think of is Bharat Maharaj.
嗯，在圣典博伽瓦坛里头其实记载了好几个人物，其中有一个人物我经常能够想到的就是Bharata 王。
Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer at the end of his life.
Bharata 王呢，他在他的生命的这个快结束的那一段时间里头，他依恋上了一头小鹿。
And due to his attachment to the deer, he had to take birth in his next life as a deer.
那由于他最后依恋了一头鹿，结果他下一生必须要投生在一个鹿的身体里。
Of course, because Bharat Maharaj was an elevated personality, even in the deer's body, he remembered who he was in his previous life.
但是呢，由于巴拉特王他是一个就是灵性上特别进步的一个人，因此他在进入到这个鹿的身体里以后，他实际上还能够记起他前世是怎么回事。
But generally, most living beings, when they take their birth, they're not conscious of what they did in the previous life, which is bearing influence on the present life.
嗯，但是呢，绝大多数的这些个人，普通人们，他们就是没有办法明白，就是说自己这一生得到的种种，实际上是跟他的以前做的事情是有关系。
Therefore, Prabhupada is explaining these are more subtle.
啊，所以圣啪啪的就在这儿解释说，这个大自然的法律是更精微的。
But nonetheless, every living being is bound, and as Prabhupada says here, not only by the reactions of previous life.
啊，但是呢，实际上不管怎么样，众生啊都或多或少的被这种过去的行为所束缚。
But every single part of his body is bound by the influence of.Of the stars.
啊，那么实际上不仅如此，就是当我们这一生出生了以后，我们身体的不同的部分都被不同的星星在影响着。
And therefore, the stars and the demigods, there are 33 million demigods.
嗯，所以呢，这些个星星就是那些个半神人，这些半神人是三百六十万，我数3300万，我这个数字我说不清楚。3300万。
The demigods have influence over different aspects of our material body. Demigods have influence over different aspects of our physical body.
嗯，那么那个半神人呢？实际上，不同的半神人都对于我们这些个物质的躯体的各个层面，实际上都在施加影响。
This is called karma bandhata.
所以这个叫 karma bandhata。
We think we're independent, but we're not.
我们认为我们是自由的，但实际是独立的，但实际上我们不是。
As soon as one takes his birth in this world, immediately he is bound.
人一旦在这个世界里出生，一旦在这个世界里出生，马上就被捆绑住了。
And even the demigods are bearing witness to everything that we do.
甚至半神人们，他们在不断地见证着我们每天在做的事情。
Which is very nicely described in the story of Ajamil.
所以呢，这个就是在一个故事叫阿扎米尔的故事里头有很好的描述。
That when Ajamil had engaged in so many sinful activities in his life, the demigods and the Yamadutas were all very much aware of everything he had done throughout his whole life.
当这个阿扎米尔后来呢，从事了很多很多的罪恶的活动，而那些个半神人，那个阎罗王的那些个使者们，他所做的一切，他们都在观察着。
In fact, there's even that story in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
事实上呢，在《圣典·薄伽瓦》上的第一篇呢，记载了一个故事。
What was the name of that sage? Mandakmuni. He was a sage, and he was punished by Yamaraj for piercing an insect with a piece of straw.
那么就是在第一篇里头就记载了一个叫 Mandakmuni 的一个牧尼，他后来死的时候呢，就被这个阎罗王惩罚，为了什么呢？就是因为他是一个小孩子的时候，曾经拿了一片草去扎一个虫子。
And even though he was a child, this Akachakra was.
尽管他当时做这个事情，他只不过是个小孩子。
But because he pierced an insect with a straw as a child, he was punished and had to take birth. What was it?
No, he later on.
And pierced. And he was very angry about this.
那个他当时就是小时候用一根草去扎了一个虫子，结果他要得到惩罚是什么呢？就是他这个在一生里头被这个人用那个长矛刺穿了自身体，然后就这么死了。他特别的愤怒，因为这个。
He thought that this was not proper punishment. He was.
然后他就觉得这个根本就不是一个对的惩罚。
And he cursed Yamaraj.
他当时就诅咒了阎罗王。
Because he was a powerful sage, he cursed Yamaraj for that punishment he gave him. He cursed Yamaraj to have to take birth as a son of a sudra. Sudrani, son of a Sudrani, as a sudra.
他当时呢就是特别愤怒，后来他觉得不公平，他就诅咒了阎罗王，让阎罗王就是今后就是投生在一个女的苏爪阶层的一个仆人的子宫里头投生。
So, there are so many examples, and as we said, the story of Ajamil, the Yamadutas were observing his behavior.
那这里头记载了那么多那么多的人的这些个事情，包括那个阿加米勒也是，他所做的一切都被阎罗王的使者所记录下来。
And because they work within the realm of the subtle laws of nature, they have very accurate records.
所以呢，由于这些个半神人们，他们是在这个特别精微的那个层面上在工作，所以他们能够知道每一个人发生什么事情，而且全部都详细的记录下来。
They're not dependent on computers and big databases.
这些人他们不需要什么用电脑，然后用那种电脑的那些个database 是内存吗？怎么翻译出来
？Computers and big databases, they can break down.
因为咱们都知道，你看我们用这个电脑什么硬盘里存点什么东西，这硬盘一坏了，完蛋，所有的东西都完了。
All the data can be lost.
所有的那些个资料全部都失去了。
What to speak of? All the data can be hacked and taken away.
更不要说现在有那么多的骇客就是去侵入别人的电脑，把别人的资料都给。
But nobody can hack the demigods' data.
但是呢，这个地球上没人能够去骇客这个半神人的那个电脑记录。
There might be someone like Hiranyakashipu who's thinking that I would like to hack the demigods' data.
也就是像提安尼亚卡西布那样的人，可能会说，我挺想要去骇客那些个半神人他们的资料库。
Wipe out their whole database.
我要把他们的所有的那些个资料全部都把它清洗掉。
So they'll never get me.
这样的话，他们就不会抓住我了。
No, the subtle laws don't work that way.
但是呢实际上这个精微的法律不是这么工作的。
And that's the point that Prabhupada is making. They're more subtle and they're not as grossly observed as the mundane laws of the material world.
所以呢就像帕帕呢在要旨里解释的，由于大自然的法律呢是更加的非常的精微，所以呢被我们这个物质世界里头的人不是那么容易了解到。
So the living entity who's taken the material birth in the material world is under the influence of these subtle laws.
所以实际上呢就是这些个生物他们是在这些精微的大自然的法律的控制下投生。
And there's no way to break free.
而且呢没人可以就是从中逃脱掉。
Prabhupada quotes the verse we just quoted, Yagyatat Kamanamucha Lokayam Kamapandana. One has to be bound in the material world.
所以帕帕德呢就是专门呢就是引述了这节诗，说我们的人就众生必然就被这个物质自然法律所束缚。
But he says the only way you can become free from bondage,
但是呢他说只有一种方法能够让人摆脱这种束缚。
It says perform your prescribed duties for the sacrifice, for the satisfaction.Of Lord Vishnu.
这方法是什么呢？就是为了至尊主 Krishna 的满意和快乐，我们把我们必须履行的职责当作是祭祀一样的去从事。
And in that way, you'll be unattached and freed from bondage.
这样的话，我们才能够不再被这个束缚所捆绑。
Just like last night, we were speaking about.The safest position in this world is to be unattached.
正如就是我们昨天晚上说的，我们在这个世界里最安全的方式就是我们不执着依恋这个世界的任何事物。
Because to the degree that we are attached, to that degree we will be controlled.
也就是说我们越是就是我们的对这个世界里的一切的依恋执着程度跟我们被束缚的程度是成正比的。
Because material nature is very merciless.
因为大自然法律那是冷酷无情的。
Material nature punishes the living being.
大自然的法律呢一直在惩罚着这些个生物。
And that punishment generally brings suffering.
而这些个惩罚通常的情况带给我们的全部都是痛苦。
And as long as we remain attached to this material world.
而我们只要还继续的执着依恋这个物质世界
we'll have to suffer the reactions to those past full activities.
我们就必须为自己曾经从事过的各种活动而受苦。
Our saving grace.
那么我们最安全的一种状态
is that we always have choice.
就是说我们永远就是我们最安全的一个事情，就是说我们始终都有选择权。
And at any moment, at any opportunity, we can make the right choice.
也就是我们当下的每一个时刻我们都可以做出一个正确的选择。
But if we make the wrong choice and we act againfor selfish reasons.
那么如果我们最后就是错误的选择了，然后因为有一些个自私的动机而去按照自私的愿望去从事那个事情，
then reactions will continue.
那我们的这些个作用和反作用，那个反作用，那个报应就会一直不断的跟随。
There's no way to break free.
完全是没有可能，就是说打破这种状态。
Given the analogy given in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么在这个圣典国家瓦坛的第十一篇里头呢，就给了我们的比喻。
That if you purchase a ticket on an airplane.
就说你比方说买票到这个乘飞机。
And that that ticket is flying to New York.
而这个飞机呢，就是
plane is flying to New York.
这个飞机实际上是要飞到纽约去的。
When you get once you get on that plane,
你一旦上了那架飞机
You still can do many things.
你在这飞机上，你还可以做挺多的事情。
You have your choice.
你有你自己的选择。
You can sit closer to the front. You can sit in the back.
啊，你可以的坐到选择坐到前头去，或者坐到后面去。
You can read magazines.
啊，你可以读杂志。
You can work on your computer.
你可以在你的电脑上工作。
You can eat dinner.
你可以吃晚餐。
So you have your choice to do many different things in the plane.
啊，所以在那个飞机上，你还是有很多的选择。
But you're still going to New York.
但是不管怎么选择，你最后就是要到纽约去了。
Because that's where the plane is going.
因为这个是飞机，就是往纽约飞的。
So in the same way, when we get our reactions that we have to accept.
所以同样的道理就是说，当我们得到了我们的该有的那些报应的话，我们必须要去承受。
We still have many choices we can make.
那在这过程当中，我们还是可以有很多选择。
We can try to become comfortable.
我们可以努力的变得更加的舒适生活。
We can try to fight against.The reactions.
我们或者是努力的看看怎么跟我们的业报做斗争。
But you, if as long as you misuse your choice.
但是只要我们误用了我们的选择的权利。
And even though it appears that you're independent and you can do what you want to do.
哪怕看起来你好像是独立的，你好像是很自由，想做你想做的事情。
You're going to go to the destination that you purchased the ticket for.
但是呢，你最终。必然就会走向你的那个你自己买了那张票的那个命运的终点。
That reaction will have to come.
那个最后的那种反作用力必然会到来。
Unless one makes the right choice.
除非人做出正确的选择。
And the right choice is not just simply an attempt to counteract the reaction.
而正确的选择不是只是努力的试图抵消那个反作用力，那个业报。
Because when people hear about that, then they start thinking, whoa, thinking, I don't want that kind of reaction.
因为当人一旦就是听了刚才说的这个，就想说，哦，我可不想要那个报应哦。
Just like the other day, we were...Hare Krishna. It went dead. Hare Krishna. What's happening?
行了吗？
I'm going to forget about what I was talking about. I have a very short memory. You'll have to remind me. Should I just keep on talking?
Yeah,
you can hear me, right? Most of you don't, doesn't make any difference if you hear me or not, right? In fact, it's probably even better that I don't use the microphone.
他说：“事实上，也许我不用麦克风更好。”
So I'm going to continue.
我继续讲好了。
Just like the other day, we were telling a story about Mugari the hunter.
就像有一天我们谈到了那个 Mugari 那个猎人的事情。
And the story of Mugari the hunter was that he was trained from his childhood.To half kill animals.
这个 Mugari 这个猎人哈，他就是从小就被训练要杀死这个动物。
And one time Narada Muni, he was coming to, he was coming from visiting Narayan in the heaven in the spiritual world.
有一次呢 ，Narada Muni 呢，他正好就是要去见这个灵性世界里头的 Narayan 啊，他路过。
And he was coming to Prayag to take his bath.
然后他就到了那个 Prayag 那个地方，他要沐浴。
And when he arrived in Prayag, he saw along the path there was a deer that was writhing in pain.
他到了 Prayag 以后呢，他就看那个路上怎么就会有那个鹿，那个小鹿在地上躺着，正在痛苦的挣扎。
And he saw that it was an arrow that pierced the deer.
然后就看到那个鹿的身上有剑刺穿了它。
And then. As he walked a little bit farther, he saw that there was a boar also with an arrow in it and writhing in pain.
然后呢，他再往前走一点点，又看到一个猪，也是身上插着一个箭，在很痛苦的挣扎。
And he walked a little further, and he saw there was a rabbit lying along the path, and the rabbit had an arrow and was writhing in pain.
然后呢，他再往前走一下，又看到了有一个兔子，也是身上插着个箭，在很痛苦的挣扎。
And Narada Muni was trying to figure out who's behind this.
然后Narada Muni想搞明白说是谁做了这样的事情。
And he looked off in a little bit in the distance, and he saw standing behind a tree.Was a hunter wearing black cloth with arrows.
然后呢，他就放眼四望，就看到在一棵树的背后有一个猎人穿着一身黑衣服，然后正在那儿瞄呢，用那个箭在瞄准。
So Narada Muni then stepped off the path and started to approach the hunter.
所以呢，Narada Muni沿这条路就走向那个猎人。
And when he stepped off the path to approach the hunter.The hunter saw that all the animals were running away and fleeing in fear, and he became very disturbed.
然后呢，随着他走向那个猎人，那个猎人就看到那么多的动物都向四散里逃走，所以他就知道有人打扰他，特别生气。
And he wanted to speak very abusive words to Narada Muni for causing.Fear and the animals, because he wanted to keep on shooting the animals.
所以呢，他就对拿着木尼就是很生气的，就是用各种侮辱性的话语跟他讲话，因为他认为是拿着木尼，就是让这些个动物就知道了，然后就逃跑。
And but instead, he just said, "Why did you do this? Look, you made all the animals run away in fear, and now there's no more animals around."
他就指责哪儿的目的，就是说你为什么做这个事情？然后你让那些动物都跑掉了，现在我就没有动物可射杀。
And Narada Muni said.So are you the person who's responsible for these animals?
然后哪儿的目的就说你就是那个把这些个动物搞成这样的那个人吗？
And he said, "My name is Magari."
然后那个猎人就说，我叫 Magari.
I am a hunter.
我是个猎人。
I've been trained from my birth, by my father, to shoot and kill animals.
我从生下来就是我爸就是这么训练我，就是这样射杀动物。
He said, "But I learned from my father a special technique, how to half kill them, because I'd like to watch them in pain."
但是呢，我是从我爸那里学到的，怎么能够就是射杀动物，但是不让他们马上死，因为我喜欢看他们挣扎的样子。
And then Narada said, "Oh, this is not good."
那Narada Muni说，这不好。
He says, "If the offense of killing animals as a hunter is a small offense."
他说这个作为一个猎人，你。就是打死动物哈，这个实际上犯的罪算一个小的罪。
But when you half kill the animals and cause them so much pain, this is very, very sinful activity.
但是呢，你把这个动物杀，就是把它射杀到半死不活，让他们痛苦挣扎而死亡的话，这个罪可是太大了。
And you will have to suffer the same reactions.Of pain that you've caused to these animals, you'll have to experience that same pain in the future.
说你呢，因为犯这个罪，因此你今后要去承受这些个动物所承受的那些个痛苦死亡的那种程度，你都需要承受。
And then Narada Muni said, "I've come.Humbly beg one request, a gift from you in charity."
所以呢，哪儿的目的说呢？我现在就是谦卑的请求你，我把这种请求当成是一种仁慈的赐予来给你。
And Magari said, "What would you like? I have so many animals I can give you. I have so many skins. Would you like an animal skin?"
他就说就希望你为此能够送给我一个礼物。然后那个猎人就说，那你想要什么呀？你看看有这么多的动物，你要动物的皮吗？还是要什么？你想要什么？我可以给你。
And Narada Muni said, no, I'm not interested in these things.
那个Narada Muni 说我不喜欢这些东西。
He said, "The gift I'm asking from you is to please from now on." Don't half kill the animals.
啊，所以拿着母女说，我呢现在要求你给我的一个回报的一个礼物，就是说从今以后再也不能把这种动物就是半死不活的杀成这样。
If you must hunt, then kill them.
啊，说你如果非得要打猎的话，你就杀了他们，直接。
And then he explained the laws of nature and the reactions he would get for half killing them.
啊，所以呢，他后来就解释了，就是他这个猎人这么样的把动物杀得半死不活，让他们挣扎着死亡，他所最后要得到的那些个报应都是什么？
When McGarry heard the reactions that he would get for half killing animals, he became a little interested to find out more.
啊，那当 McGarry 这个猎人听到拿着的 Mooney。告诉他说，就是他这么把动物杀得半死不活，挣扎而死，他自己最后要得到的这些个报应的话，他对于那接着要往下怎么走，能够摆脱这个东西，他有了一些兴趣。
He became afraid.
他开始害怕了。
And he asked Narada, he said, "What can I do to counteract?"
他就问拿着木尼说，我做什么才能够就是消除我的这些个抵消我的这些罪。
But at the same time, some faith was awakened in his heart.
那当然在说这个话的时候，他的内心有一些个信心被唤醒。
Having heard Narada's instructions, his faith was awakened, and he submitted himself before Narada Muni and completely surrendered himself to Narada.
嗯，当他听了拿着木尼给他讲的这些知识以后，他对拿着木尼开始产生了信心，因此呢，他就等于是投靠拿着木尼，让拿着木尼给他的更近。
And he said, "Now I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me what I must do."
所以他说，我现在是向你皈依的灵魂，请你能够告诉我，我应该做什么。
And then Narada Muni told him, "The first thing you must do is break your bow."
啊，所以呢，拿着木尼就告诉他说，你第一件该做的事就把你的弓给折断。
And Srila Prabhupada said in the purport to that verse, this signifies when a devotee takes initiation.
嗯，那么圣帕帕德呢，在他的书里就说了，这个把弓给折断，实际上是映射着这个奉献者在得到启迪的时候的一种状态。
He makes a vow and he breaks his bow, which is his identification with the bodily conception of life.
嗯，他在启迪的时候呢，要发誓，也就是他不再继续一直不断的持有这种躯体化的生命概念，物质的躯体化的生命概念。
Anyways, there's more to the story.
那当然了，这还有更多的这个故事。
But the point is that these laws of nature are very stringent.
但是我要强调的重点就是，大自然的法律是非常的严密。
And if one simply tries to counteract the laws of nature.
如果一个人试图透过做一些事情抵消这个大自然的法律最后给他的一些个报应。
That's simply counteracting the laws of nature is not the ultimate goal.
啊，只是抵消，实际上不是我们最终的目标。
McGarry the hunter, he was told to break his bow.
啊，那个McGarry这个猎人，他最后他的老师告诉他说要把他的弓给折断。
But then he was ready.To do anything that Narada Muni instructed him.
啊，他这么做了以后，他就接下来Narada Muni让他做什么，他都愿意做。
And he was instructed to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna and to worship Tulsi Devi.
啊，然后Narada Muni就进一步就训示他说，你呢接下来要吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna mantra， 要崇拜图拉西这个植物。
And McGarry took up the chanting of Hare Krishna mahamantra.
所以呢，McGarry后来就。接受了用这个 Hare Krishna mantra 啊，我去吟诵吟唱这个方法。
And dedicated himself to chanting and to worshiping.
啊，然后就把自己的后面的这个一生的时间都用来做吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna mantra 和崇拜图拉西。
Not only was he freed from the reactions of all the past sins committed by half-killing animals.
啊，他这么做了以后，他不仅清除了他所有的，就是把这个动物杀到半死不活，让他们挣扎而死的。
But because he was properly situated on the path of self-realization by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and dedicating his life to that chanting.
他不仅这么样，而且由于他走在了正确的觉悟自我的路上，而且呢，用自己接下来的这个生命都一直不断的在吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna Mantra 和崇拜
He did not produce any further reactions. And when there are no further reactions, one becomes qualified to go to the spiritual
world. 如果他没有了业报的话，他才有资格到灵性世界去。
But as long as there are reactions,
但是只要还有业报的问题，
one must accept another birth.
人就必须还要接受下一生。
And then when he accepts another birth and he tries to avoid getting reactions in that birth, he creates more reactions for the next birth.
那他得到了这个，在下一生当中，他得到了他。应得的业报以后，如果他用他的一生都是努力的，怎么能够消除业报，或者是回避不受业报的惩罚，然后他去做这些事情的话，他越是这么做，他就越给自己又制造了更多的业报。
So simply counteracting the reactions is not going to bring about the desired result.
所以仅仅努力去抵消自己的那些个业报并不能给我们带来更正面的结果。
And the whole story of Ajamil is meant to help us understand this point.
那么阿加米勒的故事实际上就是要帮助我们了解这个重点。
Because counteracting the reaction means I don't want to suffer.
那么我们说的要抵消这个恶报的意思就是说，那个人他心里想的就是我不想要受苦。
Which is another form of enjoyment.
而我不想要受苦，实际上是享乐的另外一个形式。
Right? We don't want to suffer.
我不想要受苦。
If we don't want to suffer, it means what do we want? We want to enjoy.
我不想要受苦是什么意思？就是我想要享乐。
Nobody says, "Let me counteract the enjoyment I will get in the future."
没有任何一个人他会说哎呦我今后得到的如果是能够享受的那些个善报的话让我把它给抵消到清楚点没有人会这么说
Most people won't.
绝大多数人都不可能
Just like if Divya Purusha comes read your astrological chart and says oh very auspicious future.
就像迪维普什法布在给你读你的那个星盘的时候跟你说哦你的未来是特别的吉祥。
Yeah, it's in the stars.
在这个星盘里头这说了。
You're going to make a lot of money in 10 years.
A lot of money. 在今后未来的十年里头你会赚很多的钱。
What am I going to do with all that money?
然后你就会想说，哎呦，我赚那么多钱，我用它来做什么呢？
Nobody thinks, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money. What do I do to counteract that? I don't want to make a lot of money.
没有人当时会想说，哦，哎呦，我未来十年要赚那么多钱呢，我怎么能够抵消这个问题？我一点都不想赚钱。
But if we think, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money, good.Let me use it for sense gratification.
一般我们的想法就是，哦，这十年我能够赚那么多钱，让我来好好的享受。
Then the reaction is.
那结果是什么呢？
You used all that money that you got for sense gratification. More suffering next life.
你用你赚的那么多的钱去进行更多的享乐，然后来世或者是未来，就会你会承受更多的痛苦。
Prabhupada used to quote that verse about the brahmachari, the prince.The saint and the butcher.
帕帕德的曾经就是总是举这样的一个例子，就是一个 brahmachari， 一个王子，一个这个奉献者，一个那个屠夫的例子。
Each of them got were getting a benediction.
每一个人都得到一个祝福。
And the brahmachari said, "Oh, brahmachari, may you die now."
那么那个祝福者就对 Brahmachari 说哦、oh, Brahmachari 我愿你现在马上就死
He said because now you're not very entangled
说因为你现在不是那么受束缚的状态
And because you're not very tangled your mind is freed from so many different attachments
由于你不是那么受束缚所以你的内心里头没有那么多的依恋
May you die now, so you don't have to come back again.
所以呢，愿你能够现在就死，然后你就再也不用回来了。
Of course, this is not the recommendation for brahmacharis that they should die.
但是呢，当然我们在现实当中，我们不会去鼓励这个真守生们现在就去死去。
But it's meant to establish an important point.
这个主要就是为了。 让我们树立一个正确的一个观念。
The Brahmachari received a benediction, may you die now, but the prince it was received a benediction, may you live a very long life.
然后呢，这个是 Brahmachari 那个奉献，然后接下来就是那个王子，王子得到的祝福是什么呢？愿你一直不断的活下去。
Why did the prince receive the benediction to live a very long life?
那为什么那个王子得到的祝福是让他一直不断的长久的活下去？
Because you're enjoying all your princely opulences now.
因为他现在一直在享受当王子的所有的那些个财富。
And you're living on the top of the world.
啊，你们是住在这个世界的顶层的人物。
But when you die,
但是你死的时候。
You're going to get so many reactions for using all those royal opulences for selfish purposes.
死的时候，因为你这一生，你都是用你的这个皇家的这些个财富，都是达到你个人的目的。那么你死了以后，你就会得到那么多那么多的那些个反的作用的报应。
So, Prince, may you live a very long
time. 所以你这个王子，你最好能够活得长一些。
Oh, saintly person.
圣人呢
？You can live or die.
你现在你可以现在死，或者是活着。
It doesn't make any difference.
实际上对你来说没任何区别。
Because if you live, you're engaged in saintly activities.
因为你活着的时候，你就从事这些圣洁的活动。
You're not accumulating any reactions.
你并没有在不断的积累你的业报。
And if you die.
那你如果死了呢
？You have no reactions to carry with you.
啊，你反正不会带走你的业报。
Live or die.
啊，所以就是活着还是死都没关系。
But you, O butcher.
但是屠夫啊，你啊。
Don't live and don't die.
你既不要活着，你也不要死。
Don't live because you're causing so much suffering to the animals.
你就别活下去了，因为你活着的时候，你给那些个那么多的动物制造那么多的痛苦。
And don't die either.
你也不要死。
Because when you die.All those animals you've caused so much suffering are going to cause so much suffering to you.
因为你要如果死了的话，你所给那么多的动物制造的那些个痛苦，那些个动物就会回来给你制造同样的痛苦。
These are the laws of nature.
这个就是大自然的法律。
And they're very stringent, subtle laws that will act.
这个大自然的法律是非常严厉的。
An intelligent person will not think, let me counteract the reactions.
而有真正有智慧的人，他不会去想说，哎呦，那我让我去消除、去抵消那个报应吧。
An intelligent person will think, let me live my life in such a way that there'll be no more reactions.
真正有智慧的人，他就会想说，让我以这种方式活着，就是活着的时候就再也不会制造任何的报应。
And Krishna says, Yagyartat kama nonyatra loko yam karma bandhana taratam kama kontiya mukta sangha parachara samachara. He said, if you perform performed as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu must be performed, otherwise karma bandhana, you'll be bound to the material world.
所以呢，这个啪啪的就引述这个《薄伽梵歌》里的话，就说了，你从事活动，你应该把它作为对 Vishnu 的祭祀去活动，否则的话，你就会受到你活动的束缚。
Therefore, perform your duties for His satisfaction.
因此，应该为了让至尊主满意而去履行你的职责。
This is how to be unattached.
这个就是我们怎么能够变得越来越不执着依恋的。
This is how to live in the world and be unattached.
这就是我们如果这么做的话，我们可以活在这个世界里，但是同时我们不执着不依恋。
Because those who can learn how to be unattached in Krishna consciousness.
因为那些个能够就是学习培养 Krishna 意识，如何变得不执着的人。
They will be able to break free from these laws of bondage.
他们就可以冲破大自然法律的罗网的。
How do they break free?
他们怎么才能够冲破这个罗网呢？
Krishna says, "Daviyesha guna mayi mama maya duratya, mama vaya prabhajante maya mitam turantite." This divine nature of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome.
Krishna 就在《薄伽梵歌》里就说了，我的这个由物质、自然三种属性所组成的物质能量极其难以克服。
But if you simply surrender to me,
但是只要你能够皈依我、投靠我，
I will deliver you from all sinful reactions.
我就会把你从所有的罪恶活动当中解救出来。
So Krishna says to material nature.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就会对物质自然就说
，No, leave him alone. Leave her alone.
啊，不要去打扰他了。
There's no longer any need for them to be bound by the laws of karma.
啊，因为这些人再也不需要用这个物质的啊这些个大自然的法律去束缚他。
They have taken shelter of me.
他们已经皈依我，投靠我了。
And now they are mine.
现在他们是我的人。
Krishna removes all the reactions to past sinful life.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就会为那些投靠、服从他的人清除这个啊前进的路途上的一切的障碍和那些。
And takes such souls under his divine prakriti, his divine protection.
啊，他 Krishna 就会把这样的灵魂把它置于他的。内在神性能量的保护。
Mahatmanas tumam pratam divin prakriti mahashrita. Krishna says, those great souls, Mahatmas, who take shelter of me, I take them under the protection of my divi prakriti.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就是说，对于那些个投靠我的那些个心胸开阔的灵魂来说，我就会亲自的照管他们，让我的神性能量来掌管。
Krishna does not recommend to give up work.
Krishna 从来没有就是跟大家说要去放弃自己的活动，
says,
停止活动。
Those who give up work, and simply artificially, they become a disturbance to society.
Krishna 说那些个就是放弃、停止自己活动的人，实际上他们是一种人为的造作，他们给社会的就是打扰而已。
I think the word Prabhupada uses is become a sycophant, isn't it? Like a parasite.
冒牌货。寄生虫冒他冒牌货的那个在他的钥匙里头是寄生虫。
Krishna doesn't recommend giving up work.
Krishna 从来没有就是推荐大家说要停止活动。
He recommends that one works according to his prescribed duty for the satisfaction of Krishna.
Krishna 告诉我们的是要我们按照自己的被就是规定的职责啊去从事活动，但是我们是为了让 Krishna 满意才这么做。
And this way, one will remain unattached and freed from bondage.
这样的话，我们才能够啊摆脱所有的束缚，我们才能够不再执着和依恋。
And even the stringent laws of nature,
就连这个最严密的这个大自然的法律
，can no longer control such surrendered souls.
它那么严密的大自然的法律。对这样的真诚的皈依的灵魂来说也不起作用。
This is the safest place in the material world.
啊，所以这个是在物质世界里头最安全的一个状态。
We should not think that we can create any secure place and safe place anywhere in this material world.
我们千万不要想我们能够在这个物质世界里头能够靠自己的努力去创造一个什么特别安全的一个地方，没有。
The safest place is to hear.And to chant Hare Krishna.
啊，最安全的地方就是不断的聆听和吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna.
There's no safer place to be.
啊，没有比这个更安全的。
Krishna says, "Antakali chamameva smaran mukha kalevaram." Whoever remembers me at the time of giving up this body, immediately he attains my nature.
Krishna 就说了，任何一个就是在死亡时能够记着我离开身体的人，马上就会得到我的本性。
Of this.There is no doubt.
啊，就有关这一点是毫无疑问的。
Those are not my words.
啊，当然这些说的话不是我说的啊。
Those are Krishna's words.
是 Krishna 说的话。
Krishna says, "Of this, there is no doubt."
啊 ，Krishna 说的就有关这一点是完全毫无疑问的。
When Krishna says, "There's no doubt," there's no doubt.
啊，当 Krishna 说的毫无疑问，就是毫无疑问。
If I say there's no doubt, maybe you might doubt.
我说这是毫无疑问的时候，你也许还要怀疑一下。
But Krishna says of this, there's no doubt.
当 Krishna 说这个是毫无疑问的
，Do not doubt.
那就不要再疑问了。
Safest place.
这个是最安全的。
It's the best, safest position to live our lives.
啊，这个您说就是这是刚才说的这个方法，是我们啊过我们的生活的最安全的状态。
Is this everything else should be a support to chanting Hare Krishna?
也就是说，我们所做的其他的一切都应该是来支持我们吟诵一唱 Hare Krishna。
Whatever work that we do, whatever duties we perform,
我们无论做什么工作，我们无论履行什么样的职责
，should all simply be a support to chanting Hare Krishna.
都是为了能够支持我们一直不断的吟诵一唱 Hare Krishna mantra.
Then one's life can become successful.
这样我们的人生才能够真正的成功。
And even the influence of the stars will no longer be able to influence us any further.
那么如果我们这么做的话，哪怕是最有影响力的星星也再也不会影响到我们。
Ordinarily, one has to wait for the most auspicious time to give up his body.
一般的人他们要离开这个身体的时候，他们必须要等待那个星星在最吉祥的那个时候。
Sometimes people try to arrange it that if I'm going to go, let me pick the most auspicious time to leave.
有的时候有一些人稍微明白点这个的，就是 OK， 我要离开我的身体的，要让我等一下，我要等那个最吉祥的时刻才离开。
But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, he says,I personally come down and I lift him up from the ocean of death.
但是呢 ，Krishna 在《佛家梵歌》的第十二章里就说了，对于那些个托庇于他的人，他会亲自下来，然后把他从生死苦海中拎出来。
For those who have taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna assures he will always give protection.
对于那些投靠服从 Krishna 的人来说 ，Krishna 要确保始终这个人会在。
And the best way to take shelter.
而最好的投靠服从的方法是
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
We'll stop there. Thank you. Hare Krishna.